By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
السلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Many viewers of Madri channel, welcome back to our program Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. Today we also have a new topic, and the topic for today
is
Allahu Akbar. We're not going to give it right now, my dear viewers. Alhamdulillah, as usual, we begin our program by listening to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My reviews of Mother Tell. Today we have a topic. To introduce this topic, Tasawwur bhai, I'll allow you to introduce the topic.
Inshallah. I mean, I'll mention something from Shamayil al-Tirmizi, and then inshallah then we'll develop into our topic. It mentions that Sayyidina Abu Talha, Rahmatullah alayhi, has narrated some of the companions once came into the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they complained to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding their hunger. And what they did was they raised their clothing and they revealed that they'd tied a stone to their stomach due to the extreme hunger. And when the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, they raised their blessed clothing and they revealed that they had tied two stones to their blessed stomach. And regarding this, Sayyidina Imam Tirmizi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated that the stones were tied to the blessed stomach, and this was due to severe hunger and weakness.
So Sarbha, I don't like generally when a person is hungry. Now, what does hunger denote upon? Hunger denotes upon weakness, doesn't it? Some people may be thinking that, and we do need to move to anath, so inshallah we will move to anath, but just to give the people a taste this over by of hunger, of our topic, mashallah. Just to give them a thought, you know, we'll introduce the topic first. Now, it's a very important topic. You know, it's about the importance of the topic, hunger generally. And it's something we never, or we hardly feel. When was the last time you felt, no, one thing is, yeah, I'm feeling a bit hungry, I want another meal. When was the last time you felt extreme hunger?
I think the, probably.
Or have you ever felt extreme hunger?
I think the only time that we here in the UK, I think what I'm talking about here, I mean like the vast majority I'd speak about, that
even the Western,
do we ever, yeah, that's what I mean, do we ever feel or face hunger?
Yeah.
I think the only time, maybe in Ramadan Sharif, and especially when the fast, like this time, you know, when they're coming through the summer period, and you've got the fast where they are extended to like 18 hours plus, maybe coming on to the end.
That's true. In fact, during Ramadan,
maybe coming on to the end of opening of, you know, when it's coming close to the opening of the fast, because the fasting time is extended. Because here the weather is not too hot, so there's no severe thirst.
These days, global warming.
I know we're getting a little bit of, you know, warmer temperature compared to, you know, previously. I mean, the last time I can remember a decent summer was when we were little kids, where we used to actually see the four seasons. But in general,
so you used to get four seasons in.
When I was younger,
I don't know if I used to get four seasons.
I remember the four seasons. The seasons used to work here in the UK as well. We'd get a decent summer, a very strong winter, and so forth.
Right.
So,
I do wish to change to the north, inshallah. Once we've gone to the north, then I wish to expand a little on the story you mentioned. It's a beautiful story. But if you was generally, after listening to the verses of the glorious Quran, we move to the Naat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and undoubtedly it is the best thing after the Quran itself. The Quran itself is the Naat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So alhamdulillah, it is a practice of ours to also listen to the praise upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's move to the Naat. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
صلي على نبينا صلي على نبينا صلي على محمد صلي على شفينا صلي على شفينا صلي على محمد صلي Oh. ذات بھی تیری انتخاب ہوئی، ذات بھی تیری انتخاب ہوئی، ذات بھی تیری انتخاب ہوئی، نام بھی مصطفیٰ ہوا تیرا، نام بھی مصطفیٰ ہوا تیرا، ذات ہوئی انتخاب، وصف ہوئے نا جواب، نام ہوا مصطفیٰ، تم پہ کروڑوں درود، ذات بھی تیری انتخاب ہوئی، ذات بھی تیری انتخاب ہوئی، نام بھی مصطفیٰ ہوا تیرا، نام بھی مصطفیٰ ہوا تیرا، تو خدا کا ہوا خدا تیرا، تو خدا کا ہوا خدا تیرا، ہر گھڑی گھر سے بھیک کی تقسیم، ہر گھڑی تقسیم، رات دن در کھلا ہوا تیرا، رات دن در کھلا ہوا تیرا، رات دن در کھلا ہوا تیرا، بگڑی باتوں کی فکر کرنا حسن، بگڑی باتوں کی فکر کرنا حسن، بگڑی باتوں کی فکر کرنا حسن، کام سب ہے بنا ہوا تیرا، کام سب ہے بنا ہوا تیرا، واہ کیا مرتبہ ہوا تیرا، تو خدا کا ہوا خدا تیرا،
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم. I was busy in the cherries there, mashallah. I was enjoying it. My dear viewers of Madani channel, alhamdulillah, after listening to the beautiful verses of the Quran, the beautiful na'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will move to our topic. And there's one more thing before that, Sohrabhai, and this is our daily picture. Let's take a look, my dear viewers, at today's picture. What do we have today? The sword by even I don't know today. Subhanallah, let's take a look at today's picture. The sword by, I think this one was quite easy. Okay, can you see it?
Can't really make any much out of it. A tree, wall, and some clothes scattered.
Did you understand it?
No.
No? Well, take another look at the picture, take a better look. I think, do you know the writing? If you try to read it,
okay.
I think the writing gives it away.
Okay. Yeah, I think probably because of the writing.
Because of the writing, it gives it away, doesn't it? But yeah. I think even without the writing, I think a person would become confused. Because I did consider it without the writing also. But without the writing, you would be confused. You think, okay, it's just representing two different places possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, that's how it seems, doesn't it? So many viewers of Madan Channel, what does this represent? You've had enough time. I'm not even going to ask you if you've, you know, had a good look. I know you have, mashallah. But anyway, coming to our topic, you began, mashallah, by stating, you know, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself used to remain hungry. Now,
what we need to clarify here is that this hunger that the beloved Prophet ﷺ used to have, it was self.
One thing is, it was optional, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was willing. It was something which was self-attained, in a sense, you can say. Because remember that that Allah asked the Prophet ﷺ that if you want, I could turn these mountains of Makkah into gold. But the Prophet ﷺ themselves preferred poverty.
But he was actually given it.
But then, there's the Bilal Hadith where Allah gives and I distribute.
Yes, exactly. SubhanAllah. Now, another thing, Tasawwurba, is what you mentioned earlier about, you know, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had two stones tied. So some people may be thinking, firstly, why tie stones? Now, the reason you would tie a stone is, Tasawwurba, I have felt extreme hunger. But this was unwillingly, because I wasn't allowed to eat. I remember when I was possibly about 10 years old or so. I remember I was young, primary school or early high school. So I was around about 10, 11, something along that lines. Now, I was extremely, extremely hungry and the doctors didn't allow me to eat. So I remember I think I was like that. So basically I was holding my stomach, I was pushing it in and I was bending. And this is what a person would do.
Yes. I was just going to mention that. You know, because we were talking earlier regarding this. I'll let you finish your topic.
So, I'm just explaining as to the reason. Some people may think, why do they tie stones? The reason my viewers of on the channel, they tie stones, is when we squeeze, we feel that slight relief, don't we? It doesn't feel as bad when we are to squeeze our stomach. So, they use stones to tie, and in that way, it squeezes their stomach. And they don't feel that hunger. So this is the reason why. Now the companions, they tied one stone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he showed them that, yes, you are showing one stone, but rather, I have not eaten for a longer duration. Look, I have two stones. This is another thing to say.
Something else is just...
Okay, go on then, I'll let you go. Go on.
The Prophet used to fast voluntarily, and sometimes they used to fast with continuity, where they fast every single day. Now the companions imitated, or they attempted to imitate those things, because they were the blessed sunnah of the Prophet. So whatever the Prophet used to do, the companions used to imitate. So they tried that, and then there was times where, due to extreme hunger, they'd either pass out during salah and etc. And then the Prophet mentioned that, my Rabb Azza wa Jal feeds me, and basically they explained to them that the difference between me and yourself and how
you lot are not like me.
And then my Rabb Azza wa Jal feeds me, and my
thirst is quenched. And neither do you understand me, it is my Lord.
MashaAllah. So here it's mentioned about the Prophet. So this was their chosen. So they chose this upon themselves. Now, remember that when there's no food available and somebody's hungry, that's nothing special. It's like when we're fasting, for these 18 hours, that gives you like a glimpse of the chosen hunger, because we're commanded by Allah, the food is there, it's available. That just gives us a glimpse of that action that the Prophet ﷺ, where everything is available and you're not eating it. So we get a glimpse of that when we're actually fasting. But that is something which is remarkable. And this is why they say that there's nothing which is the reward of fasting is nothing, there's Allah. Nothing that actually matches as a reward of the fasting, but Allah will give that reward themselves.
SubhanAllah, I said that even if it was to be given everything in the world, it would not suffice.
It wouldn't suffice.
Or it would not be equivalent to the reward deserving for the person who fasts. SubhanAllah, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, fasting should be a practice of ours. We should regularly fast. May Allah subhanAllah give us all the opportunity to fast. Now, as you are aware, each and every single day we have a reminder of the day. Let's take a look at today's reminder. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace.
grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear esteemed brothers and respected elders, Allahu Akbar, there are many sunnahs in wudu, and each sunnah is a source of blessings. Let's take the example of the beautiful miswak sharif. It's mentioned that even children know that the use of miswak in wudu is sunnah, and how can words fully express the blessings of this sunnah? It's mentioned in the Risala of Amiri Ahlus Sunnah, Wudu and Science, that a businessman says, I met a Muslim in Switzerland, and I gifted him a miswak. He became very happy, and then he kissed the miswak and touched it to his eyes. Tears welled up in his eyes. He then took out a handkerchief from his pocket and unfolded it. On it, I saw that there was a small miswak, approximately 2 inches in length. He then said that when this man, he embraced Islam, he was given that miswak as a gift, and he used it with great care, and it was nearly finished up, making him anxious. It was by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla that he received another gift of miswak from this guy, meaning the businessman received another gift, the miswak. The businessman carried on saying that he had a chronic infection in his teeth and gums, and the dentists had no cure for this. He started to use the miswak after a few days, and then he felt better. He went to see the doctor, who was very surprised to see that he was cured. The doctor then says that he could not be cured in such a short period of time with the medicine that he had prescribed him. Just recall what he had used. He pondered and recalled that he had become a Muslim and had recently started using the blessed miswak. Due to the use of the miswak, he was blessed and healed. When he showed the miswak to the doctor, he was astonished. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers of Madani Channel and respected elders, the reason why I mentioned this Madani parable is that every single person in the world, they always are in contact with the teeth in terms of eating. We use our fingers to eat, we might use utensils to eat, we might use other things to eat. But we are always doing something with our mouth. We are talking with our mouth. We are using our teeth. We are using our gums. A lot of people, they smoke, you know, and this causes gum infection as well. There are a lot of ways in which, you know, our teeth can start dropping out. There can be a cause of rotting and decaying. You know, our molars, they could be damaged. Our throat, that also could be damaged. And if we have any problems with our stomach, this is also a way, you know, through our teeth, this is also the way in which our stomach can be infected as well, because of using our fingers and utensils that are not clean, and having our teeth and our mouth, you know, having ulcers or blisters or having infection in there. So this can spread around the body due to the mouth. But the beautiful miswak, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, it's a sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And Amiri Ahlus Sunnah, Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, the founder of Dawat Islami, Dawat Barakat Mu'laliyah, he says every sunnah has a source of blessings. And just mentioning the things that I just said, the miswak inshallah will cure all of these illnesses inshallah azza wa jal. There are two beautiful hadith mentioned about the miswak. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala sallam is mentioned that whenever the blessed Rasul sallallahu ta'ala sallam entered his blessed home, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi sallam would use the miswak first, showing us that the love that he had for the miswak. If he had such love, why don't we have such love as well? And not just love, it was an important part of, you know, his daily routine, the blessed daily routine of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whenever he would enter into his blessed home, he would use the miswak first. Another beautiful hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned that whenever the greatest Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam woke up from his sleep, he sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam would use his blessed miswak. So again, this is also telling us that the love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for the blessed miswak, that whenever he would wake up, he would use it. Nowadays we use, you know, toothbrushes and toothpaste, but there are lots of things, you know, that can go wrong with these things. For example, when one uses the toothbrush, he tries to clean it, he uses it once, when he puts it back and he uses it again, Now those germs that he has taken away from those teeth, they have gone onto the toothbrush. The beauty about the miswak is once you've used it, you can cut the top. In fact, I have a miswak here, in where you can cut the top of the miswak where the germs have accumulated from the gums and the diseases and the bacteria that now have been, you know, once you've used this miswak, that now have been put into the top part of the miswak, you can cut it and now it's like a new toothbrush every single time. You can use it again. This is the beauty of the miswak. This is where germs will not, you know, be left on your toothbrush. And when you use your toothbrush again, the same germs you're applying to your gums and your teeth. This is the beauty of the miswak. This won't happen with the miswak. Why? Because this is the beautiful sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are countless blessings and virtues for using the blessed miswak. Inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani channel, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, that was our reminder of the day. Now, today's tasawwur, some people may be thinking, what exactly are we trying to tell them now? It's not haram, is it, to eat to the full? It's actually permissible to eat to the full. Mm-hmm. But it's disliked, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's mentioned by Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she, radiallahu anha, stated that the first bid'ah, subsequent to the apparent demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was an individual's eating, as well, was that people began to eat
to
their full.
Mm-hmm.
This bid'ah, my dear viewers of Madin channel, bid'ah means an innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Here it refers to a mubah. Mm-hmm. No, something which
permissible.
It is permissible, it's not rewardable, neither do you gain any sin for it, so it's permissible. But it is something never practiced by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, generally, tasawwur bhai, I've got a question for you. Okay, it's not a sunnah for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to eat, you know, to his sallallahu alaihi wasallam's full. How often would Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam eat?
I've actually got that. We saw like taking it step by step, you see. Basically, there was something I wanted to mention, and then where. Oh, how does Dawud Islami also come into this as well? So yes, I just wanted to mention one of the sayings of Imam Ghazali, Hujjatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and they write this in the Ihya ul-Ulum, and it's a health-related Madani pool, you can say.
Yes.
And what they mention is that whoever eats only, it's like a rule, you can say, in a sense, or a Madani pool. And what they mention is that if somebody eats when they actually feel hungry, and then they remove their hand whilst they're still hungry,
Allah,
that person will never ever get ill, and he won't need a doctor to go and see.
It's brilliant you brought this up. Illness and food. They said that 80% of illnesses are due to the food we eat, meaning the types of food we eat, or the quantity of the food we eat. Because so many people, we overeat. That's why in this day and age, you know, I don't think 50 years ago, to survive, I don't think anybody would have ever heard of obesity. Yeah. You know, 100 years ago, there was no such thing, my dear viewers of Mandir channel, as obesity. Why? Because people wouldn't eat so much, or they wouldn't have much to eat.
I know there's a famous saying nowadays, isn't it, that it's food culture, and here it's like everything's fast food. You know, if no matter which locality that you sort of live in, if you look around, there's several food places.
Yeah.
If you're living in like our locality, then there's
it's because
extraordinary amounts.
Yeah, yes.
But in general, wherever you live, there is food. Fast food available around you.
It's a never-ending necessity, isn't it, for you know, in one's life.
But you know,
you always need food.
But you know, you're mentioning about obesity. You see, if we go back like 100 years or so, like you're mentioning, The foods that they ate.
How old you are?
If you go back some time, however, whether it's 100 years or 50 years or whatever. But if we go back a little, or if we look back, see, the foods that they ate were solid foods, were pure foods. So the food difference, it was pure, whereas we get a lot of fabricated, I don't know if that's the appropriate word or not, but our food is not pure.
Yeah, it's not, yeah. It's not organic.
Mixed or not organic yet. So their food was pure, and then their work was labor.
So very active.
You know, they were very active, so they'd actually actively work, and as we've sort of come
on the
further,
fields and things like this, you know.
Yeah, for example, if you take Pakistan, for example, you think about Pakistan community and where you've got land and you farmers, you're growing crops, you're cutting the crops, etc. It's all hand. I mean, even though we have farmers here and they, you know, they do the, you know, the sowing and the crop, but it's all
machinery involved.
Yeah, this is what I was going to come on to. You see, there everything was with hand, and even now some of it or a lot of it is with hand, even though some machinery is available. They might not be as up to date as here and doing all the things, but to some extent there are some machinery there.
Have you been to a farm here?
I've not been to a farm.
You've just seen one passing by.
Gigi. But I know how the system works and the harvestry and the way the machinery works here. In fact, when I was at school, we had like harvest assembly and etc. So we know a little. And you've
got experience, have you?
Even then, you know, I'm only going back like maybe 30, 35 years. So even then, there were.
I'm not going to comment on that part.
Even then, there were machinery. And how they used to harvest and etc. So that physical part of it, the activeness, is not there. And and even with the preparation of food, even if you look at it from that perspective, even now, if you look at Pakistan, just say if we're comparing for Pakistan and here, just say for example, even now the food in Pakistan is all hand cooked and made and it's prepared. So even in within that, there's a difference. Here, it's a lot of the times it's like frozen, prepared meal is put into the microwave, heat it up.
I think not even in those countries the food's not as good as it used to be. It's not as good as it used to be. For example, if you were to go nowadays, this is Pakistan, this is Bangladesh, this is India, this is, you know, the countries that we are aware of. And I'm thinking the majority of countries this could be applied to.
Yeah, but that's not, that's due to the actual contents or the, you know, the actual products that are available.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mishap in that where they're not giving you the pure thing, but that's more, the people who are selling it interfering with it.
Right, anyhow, that's fine. That's fine. Chilo, that, what you did say was absolutely true, yes.
In regards to that, health is an issue. Is, for example, where something is not pure, for example, you're eating honey, and that honey doesn't, it's not 100% honey.
It's all been diluted, hasn't it?
It's diluted.
So similarly, the nutrients within it have also been
you're
diluted.
Not get the benefits,
you know, like
you?
We have these apples here, it might not even be the season for apples. Although it is now. It is now the perfect season for apples. But we have apples which are out of season, and a lot of our food is also chemically engineered, and we have all sorts of things. So basically, to survive, what's happened is, over time, the men, also the people themselves, man himself, has weakened down, become diluted. He's, you know, become more mobile, no, not less mobile. He's
immobile.
Yes, he's hardly moving. He's hardly active. Hardly doing work. And this is why the gyms, etc., you know, all these things have been introduced, and the reason why people speak about, you know, training and exercising regularly, because, you know, in the previous days, people used to work really hard and used to be sweating, etc. But nowadays, we're just eating and we don't have the exercise side to it. So that's one thing. Another is our food is also not as replete as it used to be with nutrients. So, you know, you have to eat a lot more. That's my excuse for having so much fruit here. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, we have had our reminder of the day. Let's move to our next segment, which is the daily hadith. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم said, cleanliness is half of faith. So from this we conclude that cleanliness is part of our faith. And we have to take this very seriously. Our pure religion of Islam advocates that as Muslims we remain pure and clean throughout our lives. To such an extent that cleanliness has been made a precondition for the greatest ibadah that we perform, our salah. We should also have the good intention whilst undergoing our day-to-day cleanliness, so that Allah Ta'ala also rewards us for this act as well. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant us inner and outer purification. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah, that was our respected Abdullah Madani sahib. My dear viewers, alhamdulillah, we are speaking about hunger. Now, we have 3 meals a day to survive. You know, an ordinary individual has 3 meals a day. Living in our times, as we said, you know, we have, some people think that we have to consume more food. Or some people, because they do more exercise and they wish to gain more weight, more muscle, etc., they tend to have, you know, a lot of protein, so they have a lot more food. And they even, you could say, exceed their meals or the number of meals they have. They have up to 6 meals a day.
The saying of one Buzurg, alhamdulillah, it was asked to them, what do they think about somebody who eats one? They mentioned a status.
Yes, it's mentioned that an individual was asked in regards to a person eating once a day. Siddiq. And it's mentioned that this is the act of the Siddiqeen.
And then twice a day was
the Siddiqeen, my dear viewers of an international, are those saints who possess the highest rank of sainthood. The highest rank of sainthood is the Siddiq. So this is an attribute of the Siddiqeen. They would only eat once.
And then regarding twice, I think they were asked, and they mentioned this is the eating of the believers.
Believers. SubhanAllah, yes, believers.
And then when they were asked regarding
a person who eats three times,
and they mentioned that get his family to time where they tie the animals.
Where the animals, meaning just where the animals are eating all day, you know, let him join them. But we eat 3 times a day generally. How many times do we eat a day?
Maybe twice, maybe.
Or do we eat twice a day? MashaAllah, that's very good.
You see, one thing is, which is can be a misconception to the viewers of Madin Channel here as well. You know, we mentioned that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to only eat once a day. And then when we think about Sahri and Iftari, and we think, look at
somebody
Sunnah.
Somebody may be thinking,
it's
yes,
a blessed, you know, Sunnah, Iftari and Sahri. Now, when somebody does Sahri, for example, just eating one date or maybe a glass of water, consuming a glass of water, and the sahri is done, that would not be classed as a meal. And then in iftari, when somebody has
yes, it's not a meal, is it? Having a day and so on.
Or maybe just a glass of water. Because even drinking water for sahri is also sunnah.
Yes.
For the Prophet. So,
basically, it's sunnah to perform sahri, sunnah to perform iftar. So, sahri is to have food before closing your fast. Iftar is to break the fast. You can break your fast with one chickpea. So then you've acted upon the sunnah of breaking the fast.
So you've done your sahri and you've done your iftari, but you want to class that as
a meal.
You see,
you know, like samosas and kebabs and the rolls and everything.
Yeah. You see, when we think about sahri and iftari, because the norm, you can say, for nowadays is that sahri time we stuff ourselves until we can't take any more. And then when it's iftari time, then there's so many dishes and we do the same, that we stuff ourselves that we can't take any more.
So Surabhai, we don't have much time left. I would like to move to our last segment, my dear viewers of Madin Channel, which you are all aware of. The last segment is our fruit segment. Let's turn to that. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Ever heard of the Mandarin orange? my dear Islamic brothers. Tiny mandarin orange is a sweet type of orange that grows no more than 8 centimeters in size. It contains more sugar than most other citrus varieties, making it particularly popular for desserts and as children's snacks. There are many varieties of mandarin orange, including pure mandarin, non-pure ones, mandarin cross, a name I can't pronounce, clementines, tangerines, and satsuma, amongst others. It has been said that one medium mandarin orange contains 47 calories with 9 grams of sugar and 12 grams of carbs. It also has nearly 40% of the recommended daily dose of vitamin C and 11% of the daily dose recommended vitamin A. Mandarin oranges are an excellent source of vitamin C, which help promote collagen production in the body. They also contain synephrine, which is a bronchial dilator and a rich source of fiber. The presence of flavonoids and other antioxidants can contribute to its amazing benefits. Some of these benefits are: it aids in boosting immunity, fights off free radicals, prevents cell damage, improves the skin health, it strengthens the hair, it fights allergies, relieves cold, suppresses the appetite, it aids in weight loss, supports digestive health, regulates cholesterol levels, lowers blood pressure, regulates insulin and prevents diabetes, and possesses an anti-cancer potential. Yes, my dear Samar brothers, that was the mandarin orange.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi azzul. We are speaking about the excellence, the brilliance of hunger, to remain hungry. Jee, Tasawwur bhai, your last concluding words.
Jee, I mentioned to you that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would, you know, if they had available, then it would be barley flour to make the bread and fat. And I think you'd not heard this before. So I've got a hadith here, which is from taken from Sahih Bukhari Sharif.
Right.
And it mentions that Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, they stated that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, they pawned their armor, and they pawned it and got some barley. And they further mentioned that they presented some cooked and melted fat with some barley, and this was given to the Prophet.
I have heard of this before. Jazakallahu khairan.
And then it mentions, and it further mentioned the same hadith. It mentions that my entire family has never had one sa. This just gives
yes,
you like
Allah,
that picture.
Allah.
That my entire family never had one sa of food in the
one
morning and evening. Yeah, I'm just going to define
three.
That. And this is, it mentions about 2 kilos and three quarters.
So close to 3 kilos.
So just less than 3 kilos of flour.
Yeah.
The whole, I mean, we mean family. We're talking about
nine,
all nine
homes.
Households. You see, when you think family, we're just thinking of one house, aren't we? In generally. Yeah. But here we're talking about nine.
And it is a sunnah of all of the prophets, isn't it?
For them to eat. I was going to mention that there's many. This staying hungry wasn't just something which the Prophet did, because in staying hungry, and this is intention hunger, that food is available. That's what's remarkable, that food is available, but you're not eating it.
Yes.
And there were many other prophets, alayhi salam, that remained hungry. Intentional hunger.
Some would you not eat grass, and
there
some
was
would
Gigi,
eat
and some, and same with the pious predecessors would stay hungry. And there's mention about one Fazul. They used to eat grass, and they ate grass to that extent that their skin started showing, it started going green.
My dear viewers of Manichal, we've also spoken about the, you know, tying the stone to the stomach. Now, Tasawwur, I would like to leave our viewers with this. My dear viewers of Manichal, this is something written by Amir Ahl-Sunnah. The name of the book is The Excellence of Hunger.
I was going to mention that to you.
Now, what they write in this book is they say, dear Islamic brothers, may our lives be sacrificed on the glory and the greatness of the merciful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam had a great passion for remaining hungry, but we, on the other hand, the so-called lovers and devotees of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are deprived from this sunnah. If our meal is ever delayed or it is not to our liking, then we start to argue with our family members. If only we would also adopt intentional hunger, and when feeling intense hunger, gain the honor of tying a stone around our stomach with the intention of acting upon the sunnah. I wish, these are the words, the words of Amir al-Sunnah. I wish if only I were not a human. I wish if only I were not a human, but a stone. A stone of the blessed street of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says,
I don't have the courage.
If only I were the stone lying in the path where he sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam would pass, blessing me with the opportunity to kiss his soles, to kiss his feet. I dare not to have the desire to be the stone tied to his stomach.
Allahu Akbar.
But at least, if only I were the stone lying next to the stone picked up by him, and he would stretch his blessed hand to pick up that blessed stone, and I would have the blessed privilege to kiss that blessed hand of Rasulullah sallallahu
alaihi wasallam. This is the imagination
thinking,
and their love that they wouldn't even, they don't have the courage that I'm not capable to be that stone that would touch the blessed body of the Rasulullah.
But just a stone next to it.
But just someone next to it so that I could.
SubhanAllah. Many viewers of Madin Shalom. This was the, you know, undoubtedly they are a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a true friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a true lover of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And in this day and age, a true example for each and every single one of us. You know, we, the awliya Allah, it is a duty upon us, on the one hand, to love all the ulama. Every wali is a alim deen. It is a duty for us to love, respect and honor the ulama. But then, my dear viewers, we have some, well, not even some, we have, you know, a diamond. Yes, alhamdulillah, we do have awliya Allah. But, you know, there's one who's outstanding, he's shining. And it is our opportunity to, even duty, to gain some of that light, my dear viewers. How can we do that? Continue generally to watch Madini channel. But more importantly, to watch Madani channel on a Saturday. Because alhamdulillah, every single Saturday we have the Madani Muzakira. And Amir Ahle Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya are on the Madani Muzakira. And they answer questions, general questions and answers. And what you cannot learn from books in a century, inshallah, you can learn every single one, from every single one of those Madina Muzakaras, you can learn.
See, something. Here we're talking about an individual who adopted their life around the sunnahs of the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then relating it to our topic, Amir al-Sunnah is a perfect example of voluntary hunger and remaining hungry.
Fasting,
and it mentions that they fasted, they fast every permissible day, but it's mentioned about five fasts in the year which you can't fast.
Yes.
Apart from that, the fast, and then the viewers of Madhi channel have seen this where they're continuously giving and making individual effort on individuals to voluntary fast. And they, in a sense, they've actually made like a movement of voluntary fast,
yes,
where
they
inviting
and 10
people.
And 10 stones to the stomach. We've not,
this
know,
is actually
never
a sunnah. The Amir al-Sunnah, this was before this book, Peer Ka Kufle Madina. Before this was actually written, Amir al-Sunnah actually fulfilled this sunnah. And then, if those brothers who went to Pakistan, this was actually available. You could actually buy from the shops that are outside the Madini Markaz. You could actually buy a stomach to tie, so you fulfill this sunnah. And I think it was also included in Madini Namat.
SubhanAllah. Many viewers of Madinah channel, that's all for now. Inshallah, we shall be returning to you. Sallu ala al-Habib
sallallahu
ta'ala ala
Muhammad
sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine.